So last week, we talked about locating your heart. Yes. Who can tell me where your heart is? Where's your heart? Right here. No, where's your heart? Where your treasure are. I don't like to say treasure because I like to get more real. Where your money is. Where your money is, that's where you, what, I said like this, where you spend your money is what you really are into. That's what Jesus said. He said, wherever your treasures are, that's where your heart, meaning who you really, what you're really into, the center of who you are is your heart. Not your heart beating, but wherever you, and Jesus, when he said that right before, we didn't have time to go last week, but right before he said that, he said this, put your treasures in heaven. Store up, he said, your treasures in heaven. And so we talked about last week, the opportunity we have, and many people, people that come into church and they don't understand where their heart is. And we saw that the Bible said that they draw near to me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. Y'all remember this? Yeah. And then we saw, everybody say we saw.
We saw.
We saw it in the word that Jesus sat or stood in front, right across, right opposite from where they collected the money in the temple. And he did that because here's what he wanted to see. He wanted to see what they were doing. Now, this kind of frank talking freaks a lot of people out because they have been used to, when they come to church, they've used to, you know what, they're used to putting the pastor in his place. I told you last week, had somebody, this has happened to me several times, but years ago, somebody I was teaching on biblical finances, and please understand that God talks more about money than he does about heaven. Jesus talked more about money than he talked about heaven.
That's right.
Okay. And I prayed, God, help me not to be afraid to say what you tell me to say. And so we were teaching on this. Guy met me outside. You know what? God in my face said, listen, here's what he said. If I want a lecture on finances, I'll go to the bank. I thought, brother, what you're going to get at the bank is not what you got today. I guarantee you that. But my point is, you know what? And then years later, I had somebody come up to me and they said, Pastor, if you don't stop talking about money, we're going to leave the church. Okay. Well, actually, the truth is, when God's talking about money, you know what he's really talking about? He's really talking about your heart. Because you can't separate the two out. So we talked about that last week. Today I want to show you, and we're just going to spend a little time on this, but it is so rich. Look at your neighbor and say, this is going to be rich.
Rich.
Okay. It's so rich. Here's all we're going to do today. I'm going to just give you many, many examples, quick examples of this. Somebody, let me tell you about God. Don't take this out of context. Let me say the whole thing before you judge it. Jesus was crazy. If you judge according to what's normal. Do you understand? He did crazy things, and he asked people to do crazy things. Here's the cool thing. When those people would do the crazy things that Jesus was asked them to do, they would walk in a supernatural blessing, or they would see a miracle happen in their life that then, listen to me, then they would walk in the blessings of God because they did something that others would consider crazy. But Jesus told them to do it. Okay, watch this real quickly. I want you to turn, if you would, to, where do I want you to sing? To turn, 2 Kings chapter 5. Just go to 2 Kings chapter 5. It's kind of in the beginning of your Bible. It's after Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and then Chronicles. So, but look, it's towards the, look, it's towards the beginning of your Bible. Do you see that? Can you see that? Good. Shh. 2 Kings chapter 5. But I'm going to go, guys up in the back, you go to, you guys all go to 2 Kings. But in the back, go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1. Where are you guys going?
Second Kings.
Okay. We're gonna go different places. Okay. And we'll hook on up in 2 Kings in a little bit. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the fat of land. I quote this all the time. Okay, now you know where it is. But here's what I want you to catch. What's the first word there? Everybody, what's the first word there?
Yes.
And it's important because let me tell you about Hope Community Church. We are a training center.
Yes.
Listen, I love to proclaim the Word of God, but you know what I really love to do? I really love to teach the Word of God. I love teaching on Sunday, but what I really love is teaching on in Academy of Righteousness, because it just gives me a little time to slow down a little bit. But let's slow down a little bit. Let's tear this apart. If you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the fat of the land. If. You know what if means? If means, or if says, it's not automatic. In other words, listen, according to this, this is not for everyone. I mean, it could be for everyone, but it's not automatically for everyone. If is a qualifier. If I said this, if you came tomorrow at 7 o'clock with blue jeans on and a white t-shirt, I'd give you $100 and buy you a donut. Okay, if I said that, then, and you came tomorrow and you came at 8 o'clock with green jeans on and a blue t-shirt, then guess what? You wouldn't get a donut and you would not get $100. There's in this passage of scripture, and listen to me very carefully, because this is, let me get on the positive. If we are willing and obedient, we will eat the good of the land. The good of the land was the promised land that God had promised the Israelites. A land flowing with milk and honey. A land that you were able to grow crops very, very easily. A land that was blessed. And not only land was blessed, but houses that had already been built. Large houses. So I'm just telling you what the Bible said. Okay, large houses with wells that had already been dug. That's what God wanted for his people. But he doesn't say everybody gets it. Here's what he says. If, everybody say if. If you are willing and obedient, if you are willing and obedient, here's what that means. It's up to you. Look at your neighbor and say, this is up to you. Okay. And listen, and we're getting our theology right out of the Bible. God says this. We're going to see this over and over and over again. Here's what I'm going to show you today. I'm going to show you example after example after example. I'm only going to spend a little bit of time. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to show you example after example after example of this very scripture. Okay? Because here's the reality. God will ask, he's the same yesterday and forever, and he's asked people to do crazy things that make no sense. But when those people will do the things that Jesus is asking them to do that doesn't make any sense, when they will fight through the control, everybody say control, the control of, no, I'm going to control my life. When you will give your life to Christ, and I'm not talking about, you know what, some ceremonial thing that you did 48 years ago, 38 years ago, 38 months ago, you know, at a camp. I'm talking about day by day living that God can direct your life. Because let me tell you what, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's going to ask you to do crazy things. But here's what I want to tell you. If you'll do those, then here's what's going to do. You're going to benefit from those crazy things. And in that time, you have all kinds of people there. No, stupid, that's crazy. Blah, 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 blah. And what you need to do is you need to shut them down and you need to listen to God. And if you're willing and obedient, if not automatic, See, there's people who, and here's the thing. Wow, I said not automatic loud, huh? Because I want you to understand, it's not automatic. We have people, and they come into church, and they don't understand. Pastor, I don't understand why I'm not going to walk in the blessing. Why I'm not walking in the blessings of God. I'm not going to understand. And watch this. They'll get saved. They'll get born again, and they'll tap into the supernatural that when they die, they're not going to die. They're going to live forever with Christ. They're going to tap into the supernatural, and then for the rest of their life, they'll never go back into the supernatural. And that's not what God intended. What God intended for you to get into the supernatural, what God intended is pray this, that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And for that to happen, you have to walk in the supernatural. Okay, have you found your places in Kings yet? Okay, stay in Kings, stay in Kings. And I'm going to go to, where do I want to go? I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Very quickly, just listen to me. Very quickly, please understand. We won't go there. We'll stay there. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Look at verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. Next verse. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter, everybody say Peter. Okay. And we're going to see the same thing. Here's what we're going to see. The commandment of God, nonsensical, the obedience to the command, and whoever it was who did that walking in the miracle. Again, first going to happen, the commandment of God, then the obedience to the commandment, even though it's crazy, and then them walking in the supernatural. Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you." You don't want to you on the water. On the water? Watch, next verse. So he said, "Come." That's the commandment. Now listen, crazy. Everybody say, crazy. Crazy. No, you didn't say it like he. Crazy. Crazy. It's crazy. Crazy. See, I didn't even say that, but you are like into it, right? Okay, here's my point. It is crazy. Come. Yeah, cuckoo. Come. Walk on the water. That is a crazy thought. That's a crazy thought. See, here's what we do. And here's why we don't walk in the supernatural. Because when we have the crazy thought, we qualify it and we go, "No, that doesn't make any sense. I'm not going to do it." Do you remember that word if? Yes. I would say it's up to me. See, it's up to you whether you're going to walk in the blessings. Peter, you know what? He's going to walk in the blessings. The supernatural miracle in his life. Here's why. Because he was obedient to the command of God. So he said, "Come," and Peter had come down out of the boat. Come down out, crazy, of the boat. Right? I guarantee you, if Peter's mom was on the shore, she said, "Peter, don't do that. Don't get out of the boat." And I guarantee you'll have all kinds of people telling you, "Don't get out of the boat. That's crazy. Don't make any sense." You know what? And okay, great. You can be in the boat. You can stay in the boat. But you won't walk in the supernatural. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the fat of the land. If it's not automatic. When Peter had come out, that's what I want you to see. When did he walk in the supernatural? And when Peter had come down out of the boat. See, he walked in the supernaturally, in the supernatural when, or we say when. See, here's the thing. Here's what freaks us out. Here's what trips us up in bad theology. You know what? You have not learned that my sermon title. I got a bunch of sermon titles today, but one of them is you cause the supernatural. Here, I got another sermon title. The miracle is in your court. See, look. Jesus gives the command, but, oh yeah, that's clever. Look at that, huh? Okay, go back to the scripture though. When did it happen? When did the Bible says, and when Peter had come out of the boat, he walked on the water. When did it happen? When he walked, he got the command. You know what? Is the command enough? No. Command's not enough. Matter of fact, many people will disqualify the command because it doesn't make any sense. Does it make sense to get out of the boat and walk on the water? It makes no sense. I.e., Jesus is crazy. If we judge it to logic. But when Peter overrode what was logical and he did what God asked him to do, he had a supernatural miracle in his life. Okay, everybody say one. Okay, again. And when Peter had come out, I want this to be ingrained in your mind. It didn't happen until, look what happened. Look, and you see it right in the wording. This wording is ordained by God. God breathed, the Bible says. And when he had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water. Telling you the sequence is very important. He had a crazy command, but when he did it, that's when the miracle happened. Not before. Everybody say, not before. Number two, are you found your place in Kings yet? Okay, stay in Kings. Go to Luke. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, quickly. Luke chapter 8. And he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. You know this story? This story with the woman with the issue of blood. And you know what? And she touches the hem of his garment. Boom, she gets healed. Right in the middle of this, there's another story. Here, watch this. Next verse. But when Jesus, while he was still speaking, he's speaking to this woman who just got healed. While he's doing this, watch this, someone came, the ruler of the synagogue house, saying to him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. So here's what's happening. Jairus asked, you know what, that Jesus would come. When he does that, the woman, so he's going to his house. When he's doing this, the woman with the issue of blood blocks, you know what, goes through this whole thing. And during this whole thing, somebody comes with bad news. You don't have to bother the master anymore. Your daughter's dead. It's hopeless, right? Can I tell you what? Your marriage is not hopeless. Your children are not hopeless. Your grandchildren are not hopeless. Your finances are not hopeless. Your situation is not hopeless. Because with God, all things are possible. God is about turning things around. Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. Next verse. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, do not be afraid. Now he's talking to the Father. Do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well. He gets the report she's dead. Jesus talks to him, says, don't worry about it, only believe and she'll be made well. And this, to our mind, doesn't make any sense. We need a shot. We need a pill. We need, you know what, we need the medical. No, she's dead. And we have advanced so much in medical profession, thank God for it, but that advancement has also made us dependent, not upon God, but upon man. The situation is hopeless. But Jesus says, here's the command. Here's the command. Don't be afraid, only believe. And when he came into the house, he permitted no one to go except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the little girl. Nobody comes into the room. Nobody comes into the house but these. Next verse. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping. How many know God calls the things that are not as though they were? Okay. And they ridiculed him. See, they thought it was crazy. Why? Because he said crazy things. Things that don't make sense to our minds. And so automatically, we're going to ridicule you, and they will ridicule you, and they'll call you crazy. If you're a willing obedient, you'll eat the fat of the land. Watch this. And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them outside. Okay, that's nice. See ya. Right? And you have to do the same thing. You have to have a willingness to put them outside. Sometimes physically you need to put them outside, but definitely mentally you need to put them outside. Take heed to what you hear. Protect your heart with all diligence, for out of it will flow the issues of life. Your words are so important. Who you put yourself around is so important. Bad company corrupts good morals. You hang around the naysayers. You hang around people who say it'll never work. Your dreams will never happen. You know what I mean? It'll never work. That'll never change. It'll always be the same. Yada, yada, yada. Listen, you have to get rid of those people. You know, some of you need to get some new friends. I'm smiling, right? Some of you need to get some new friends. Some of you need to put these people out. So, you have to protect your heart, because for your heart, from whatever's going on in your heart, that's going to be the boundaries of what you obtain in your life. And you're called, listen to me, every single one of you, you're called to do great things. Amen. And so you have to see it. Listen, people who do great things, you know what? They are dreamers. There are people who have had the strong ability to take the naysayers and put them out. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand and called her, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned and she arose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. Now who's laughing? Amen. And here's what I want you to catch. And here's my question. I said all that to ask you this question. How come this girl lived? How come she lived? Listen, not what you think, according to what we just read. You know, it's so interesting. People want to make up their own theology. But according to God, why did she live? What's the narrative? Why'd she live? Not her faith. Why'd she live? Close. If you believe, who's he talking to? Talking to the dad. If you believe, she'll what? She'll mean way. Well, okay, you catch it? Crazy commandment. Don't listen to them. And then think about the dad. He's coming home, and now he verifies. They go into the room. What's he verify? What's he see? He sees she's dead. The command didn't change. Do not doubt, only believe. And, see the after? And she will be made well. What happened? What do we know happened? We know that father, in the midst of all kinds of people saying things and even him seeing things, he believed. How do we know that? Because Jesus said, if you believe, she'll be made well. Boom, she's well. She gets out. Hey, get her something to eat. See, if you're willing and obedient, if you see these example after example of people, regular people who had a situation, God spoke to them supernatural, they did what he told them to do, they overrode. See, that's the thing. We've got to override our thinking. Does this make sense? Does this make sense? Has God ever told you to do something crazy? Is God telling you right now to do something crazy? Override your thinking and be obedient. Now watch this. What happens after? See, everybody wants the after. Everybody, how many know everybody wants the after? What I'm telling you is, if you're willing and obedient, what's the reciprocal? I'm not trying to be negative. I'm trying to be real with somebody. If you don't, then you can have your logic and your neighbor's logic and your mom's logic and your dad's logic and your brother's logic, and you can live in their level. Natural. These people didn't listen to their neighbors, their friends. Don't bother him. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to walk in the supernatural today. Listen, if you're willing to obedient, you're going to eat the fat of the land. The fat of the land, every day now, his 12-year-old, he gets to see his 13-year-old and his 14-year-old and her grow up to be 15 and 16 and 17, 18, 19. That man probably gave her, who gives this woman to be wed? He probably said, I do. See, that's the fat of the land. That's the fat of land. And listen, here's what I'm telling you. We have an opportunity. I'm gonna ask you today to pray and take one of those cards and ask God, what does he have for you? I told this to the first service. So, Pastor, are you just preaching this? Here's what I believe. I believe that corporately we are called to do something that's going to cost us $300,000. But more importantly than that, I believe that God is going to use this to do a miracle in your life. And what if this? I'm just asking. What if, is there examples in the Word of God asking corporate people to do something, to step out in faith, and when they do it, it unlocks a whole thing to our community? I'm just asking, could this outdoor fellowship center be pivotal to what's going to happen in the next 10 years in Pico Rivera? Could it be, could God just be speaking to people sitting today in your seat asking you to do something crazy, and because you're obedient, we could all eat the fat of the land? Is that possible? Is God real? Does he really do stuff? With all this cynicalness, and with even pastors who've manipulated and conned people in the past, is it possible that this deal is real and that God could really speak to you, and he really is speaking to us to do something outside that would reach our community in a greater way? Could it be that 55, 60, 70 years ago, God spoke to people who are now not even with us to buy this land and to build the North Sanctuary? And you were touched because of what they did. I'm just asking. People just walking in a miracle of God? No, no, no. People spoken to do something crazy. Them obedient, and then them get a miracle. You want to see it again? Can I show it to you again? Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Okay. And when he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood far off. They're lepers. They've got leprosy. You know what? Let me tell you about leprosy. Leprosy, at that point, no way to heal it. You know what? It would deteriorate your skin and your, particularly your ligaments, and this is gross, your hands would fall off. Your feet would fall off. It would just deteriorate. It's gross, totally gross. Okay, watch this. They're lepers, and there's no way to cure it. No doctor has no cure. Cureless, hopeless. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Okay, watch this. So when he saw them, he said to them, here's the command. Here's the command. Go show yourselves to the priest. That's the command. Here's the thing. To go show yourself to the priest, you don't know this. They all knew this. They're all Jewish. They understand the Jewish traditions. The Jewish traditions is the priest was the one who could sign off and say they were healed so they could come back into society. They were unclean. They couldn't live in society. They had to be, they were outcasts. They were outside the city walls. They were far away. Anyway. So the tradition was go to the priest. The priest could sign off you're healed, and then they could get back into society. The commandment, go to the priest. Here's what I want to ask you. When Jesus says go to the priest, here's what I want you to catch. They're not healed. Can I show it to you? And so it was that as they went. Let's say it together. As they went. Here's what that means. Go show yourself. 10. Go show yourself to the priest. I know I'm going to show myself to the priest. I know what's going on. The priest is going to sign off that I'm healed. What do they want? They want healing. Oh, have mercy on us. We need healing. All right, go show yourself to the priest. And I have no change. How come I know that? How come I know this? Because the Bible tells me this. No change. You know what I have to do? I have to do like this. Watch this. All 10 of them had to do this. Where's the priest? Let's say the priest is that way. Now, I don't know exactly how it went, but let's just say it went gradually. Because that makes sense. As they went. So, well, yeah, my little fingernail got a little bitter. Oh, that was probably just my imagination. See, at what step, at what place, did they finally recognize what Jesus said was happening, was really happening? I don't know. Here's what I know. Here's what I know for a fact. Crazy commandment. And when they were standing there, nothing happened. But as they went, everybody say, as they went. They received. They were cleansed. They received their cleansing as they went. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the fat of the lamb. The command is given first. Crazy commandment. Walk in obedience, and then you see it. John. John chapter 9. So powerful. And when he had said these things, listen, I could do this all day. Because it's all throughout the Bible. And when they had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. What saliva? That he spit it with. Okay? And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Crazy. Crazy. Now, imagine you're blind. You're blind. Close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. Okay? Okay, everybody close your eyes. Close your eyes. Okay, everybody close your eyes. All right, you can open your eyes. How many know people who are blind, they're really sensitive to sound? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And it's like, what is he doing? What is that? And then all of a sudden, you're blind sitting there, and all of a sudden, it's like, oh my goodness, he just put mud in my eyes. What is he doing? Watch this. Not just mud. Not just mud. What kind of mud? Spit mud. Amen? How many know it would be freaky to put mud on your eyes? How many know it's real freaky to recognize, where did he get that water? I didn't hear no hose going. You know what I mean? And recognize, oh my goodness, he made spit with that. He put that on my eyes. Crazy. Watch this. Same thing. You'll see it again. And when he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back. Here's what I'm saying. How in the world? He says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and wash your eyes off. Same thing. The spit didn't come on. The Bible doesn't say the spit was put on. The mud packs was put on. He wiped it and said, hallelujah, I can see. That's not what happened. That wasn't the instruction. Jesus does something crazy. Then he tells him, go into this. You know what? It doesn't make any sense. All I'm saying is when people are told by God to do something crazy, and they do it, they unleash the supernatural in their life. Can I quote it to you again? Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. If you're willing and obedient, it's not automatic. If you're willing and obedient, then you'll eat the fat of the land. Amen. Amen. Can I show you one more place? All right, now I know you found yourself in 2 Kings, right? Okay, 2 Kings chapter 5, go to verse 1. Now Nahum, commander of army, the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. He had leprosy also. Watch this, next verse. And the Syrians had gone out on raids, and they had brought back captives of a young girl from the land of Israel. This person was an Israeli. She knew God. She knew the power of God. She waited on Nahum's wife. You catching this? Next verse. And she said to his mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who was sent in Samaria, for he would heal him from his leprosy. There's a hope here. Next verse. Then Nahum went in and told his master, you know what, saying, thus and thus said the girl who is from Israel. Tells him what's going on. You have hope. Watch this. Then the king of Syria said, you know what, go now and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. He says, I'm going to go do that. Watch this. Go down to verse 9. Verse 9. Then Nahum went with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elijah, the prophet. Very important. Then Elijah sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored to you and you shall be clean. Watch this. Crazy commandment. Elijah doesn't even go to the door. Sends his servant. Says, hey, oh yeah, that guy, tell him to go wash. You know, go lake, wash 7 times. You know what I mean? Right? It's like, what? Watch this. Then Nahum became furious. Now listen, here's what he became what?
Furious.
You know what? People get furious when God tells them to do something crazy. Listen, especially when it comes to finances. And that furiousness gets thrown back. You know, pastor, all you want to do. It's just like, get out of my face. I don't want to. You know what? You're messing with my money. People become furious at this. And went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me. Here's what I envision. I envision that he's going to come out to me. Okay. Let me just tell you what happens. He's furious and he walks away, watch this, with his leprosy. His servants recognize, hello, it's crazy, but it'll work. They come up to him and say, dude, if he would have told you to do something hard, you would have done it. He's telling you to do something easy. He goes and he changes his mind and he does what God tells him. And the Bible says, and his skin became like the skin of a baby. All I'm saying is, I'm going to ask you, I've been asking you for 3 weeks, pray about what you would do, what God would have you to do. And then whatever he comes up with, just do it. And can I tell you what? And don't draw back. Don't do the logical thing. Well, God said this much, but you know what? And start getting your calculator out and figuring it out. Don't do that. Lean not into, don't do that. Just do what God asks you to do. Here's what I'm believing. I'm believing that we will see corporately, we'll see a supernatural outpouring of the Spirit in this place like we've never seen before, number one. Number two, I'm believing you will see supernatural blessing come to your life. Amen? Now, I've been asking for a little while, and okay. So here's what I'm asking. I'm asking that we would pray and that God would speak to us. Many of you have prayed already. Many of you are committed already. But there is a couple ways that you can give. You can give a one-time gift, which I'd appreciate. That if we all could do that, would be great. But then I'm praying that you would commit to something every single month over the next year. And I'm believing in a short period of time, we will raise $300,000. I'll call John and I'll say, hey, John, we're going to start construction. When can you be here with your guys? Okay. Understand, John's doing all of the construction, all the administration for the construction for free. Okay. And I'm sorry if you have a uncle who knows how to do this. Thank you very much, but don't mean to be offensive. But we have to do this with permits. We have to do this. You know what? I mean, we have, this is steel construction. I can't, you know what I mean? Oh, sorry. You know what? The steel fell on your 8-year-old. You know what I mean? Oops. We're not going to do it that way. It's going to be done right and professional, and it's going to be outstanding. And this stuff costs a lot of money, but can I tell you what? Our community is worth it, and you're worth it. Let's close our eyes. Father, I pray that even right now you'll speak to us. Father, I pray that people would understand. You know what? I in no way want to be manipulative in any way. But I do believe that you've called us to do this. And I do believe that you've called us to do this. So Father, speak to us. I thank you that we will be those who are willing and obedient. And I thank you that we will eat the fat of the land. That there will be great blessings that will come directly because of our obedience. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. Now, Tamara, come on up here. But as Tamara comes, just understand, look back at Mark, say, hi, Mark. Okay. You see that box right there? We have put those sheets right in front of those boxes. So you can take one, you can commit. There's 3 ways. You can commit one time, you can commit to a year and a little bit every month, and you can do both. So I would ask that you do that. Fold that card up just once. You can put it in those boxes. You can also give those to the ushers, and they'll put those in the box. So we will have a running total and commitment. I thank God that in just 3 weeks, we've already raised almost $18,000, which is a blessing. But how many know we still got some room to work? Amen. How many know 18 is not 300? Okay. And please understand how simple this is. If we just had 300 people, just 300 people to give $1,000, we could do this next week. Tamara?
Wow. I was listening.
Wow. Is right.
Wow. I believe this coming Sunday, are we going to have Daryl with us? No. Oh, it's, I don't know when it is then. Okay.
Sorry.
All right. No problem. I was listening to, I was going through my phone trying to clear some things out this morning, and I ran across some videos that I had from back in 2015, which these were right after camp. It might have been right before camp in 2015, and Daryl was with us, and Daryl had prophesied over several people, and I was just standing there with my phone, and I was kind of recording all kinds of things as he was prophesying, and I was listening to the one about Pastor, and I thought, oh my goodness, like we're beginning to see many of the things then that are just now beginning to happen. And then I was then he had said some things about me. And then right at the end, he said something, a little blurb about Tyler. And I was like, oh my goodness, I don't even remember that. But we're beginning to see what the Lord had said. And one of the things that he said as he was prophesying over Pastor, he was talking about the next season that we were going into. And he said what I articulated to you, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago, which was that this will be a quick work. That what we're going to do, you know what, it's just going to move quickly in preparing. And Daryl, 2 years ago, had talked about the next season that we were going into. And then he had said, this is going to be a quick work. And he talked about the impact that there will be. So it was like very cool to just stumble on that this morning as I was trying to make memory room on my phone. And it's like, what's this? You ever do that? And what's this? And there it was. And it was just very, very encouraging. And so, you know what? I'll remind you what the Lord, and he said it's going to be a quick work. Remember they said we're in the go and see time. So we're going to go, we're going to see, we're going to obey, and the rest is in God's hands. Amen? Amen. Amen. So don't miss your part.